A Silent Time. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. A Silent Time. The other day, we were talking about the Pope and his activities, that he goes into his chambers and then he disappears for a while, and he goes out into the world and incognito and so forth, and people don't recognize who he is, and he can sort of socialize and go with people and do what he wants to do. Now, people say, my goodness, he's supposed to be in his silent time. He's supposed to be in his quiet time, a time when he is listening to the divine within him and listening to whatever it is that he is. I told a story from the United Church of Religious Science, and the head of the prayer department is always on duty and doing a good job. And Dr. Henley, the president, came to him just before the annual Congress and said, would you please treat that the Congress be a success and that everything that we planned for the Congress is done? And the prayer master said, no, I won't. And the president says, what, you won't? No. He said, if I wait till the last minute before I pray for the things that I know are important to be done, I'm not doing my job. He said, the moment you announced your annual Congress, I've spoke my word that it's a success. The moment that you thought anything about it, even every thought you ever had, is somehow communicated to me, and I immediately see it as success. And whatever I hear from any other department heads here, I see whatever's going on in the Congress as success. I don't wait till the last minute for me to speak my word. And the president was chagrined, and he said, of course, of course. Well, this is like the Pope. The Pope has trained himself in a very wonderful way, which none of you will ever know unless you let go. He trained himself in the way that he believes that when he speaks his word, it is done. And when anything comes to his attention, he doesn't need to study the books and read all the background on it and know all the legal ramifications of it. He instantly knows, because he has a divine connection, you might say. He's got a connection direct to God, you know, within him, which is cool and true for everybody. And he knows it. Like Sai Baba said to the people who came to see him, they said, you think that I am God. Well, that's true. I know it. You're God too, but you don't know it. Now, the moment you start knowing it and living as though you are God, as living as though you are one as and in and through the divine, then your a silent time will be 100% of your life, because you're always in communication with your divine self. Whatever thought comes up, instantly the divine right action for that thought is beheld in your mind, in your consciousness, and you know exactly what to do. Ellen asked me about a little problem the other day, and she said, will you treat with me that it's always in divine order? I said, the moment you told me that there was a problem, I saw the solution. Now, you're asking me to treat that all is in divine order. The moment I treated, the moment I recognized there was a problem, I saw the solution, and there was no problem. Now, of course, all is in divine order. It never was in divine, out of divine order. It always was in divine order. But do you recognize it? Do you live your life like the Pope, so that you can, no matter what you do, I mean, he has a lot of things on his mind, you know. You see, my goodness, you know, one of the largest corporations of the world. But he doesn't worry about that. He is one of the greatest delegators of the world. He delegates jobs to people to do, and they do it. And he knows that they will do it. and he doesn't get his nose in there and say, this is how it should be done, he doesn't care. He sees it done, you see. This is what living in silence means. That you see it done, and you know it done, and that's what it's all about. Can you begin to take your big nose, which means your background and your influences and things that you have had attitudes about, you know, like, what's the right way to put the dishes in the dishwasher? There's only one right way to put the dishes in the dishwasher! My goodness sakes, why get so excited about it? Someone once said, if you have to pound on the table, you're neither logical nor cooperative, you are you're without any power. And so, it is done. So when you speak your word, it is done. Let it be done. Let it be known that this is what it's all about. You are constantly living in a state of silence. And constantly living in a state of silence, what are you doing? You're constantly living as your divine self. And there is no, what should we do? You say, okay, there is the problem or solution, and so let's put it in motion. How do we put the solution in motion? We see it done. We see it done. Now, you could never know what process things would do to bring themselves forth in your life, you know. You could never know how we were going to buy that Oasis piece of property. We just knew it, and we were ready to do it, and there it was. Now, that was complete, you know, receptivity and acceptance, and there it was, the full amount. Just the right amount. Just the right amount, you know. No more, no less. Paid all the details that had to be paid, and wonderful. Now, have we any other desires for ourselves? Have we a desire to live in independent wealth? If we desire to live in independent wealth, then let go and let it be. Don't say how much it should be, what it's going to be spent for, why you need it, you know, and all these other silly things. Because the minute you do that, then you're telling the principle, the law, how to manifest or reveal that good that you would have for that. Just like the Oasis money. How could we have ever imagined it would come through just the channels that it did? We could never have dreamed of it. And it was through almost a negative channel first, you know. And it turned out so beautiful. But this is how we want to treat in all ways. This is how we want to live. We want to constantly live in silence. In silence. You see, when you live in silence, then everything is so perfect for you. Everything is so divine for you. And that's all that it matters, doesn't it? It's all that it matters. So, now, every pope doesn't live in this gracious state of consciousness. He can, but he doesn't. Only the popes who like themselves. Mm-hmm. You see? Now, the popes who feel that they got to do the job for the people, the popes who feel that they're up there being something for their congregants, you know, that they're being something for the people who are following them. Well, no, they're not. The best leader is no leader. Jesus was not a leader. He was a pure example, and example is an interesting word there. Jesus lived what he lived and thought what he thought, and he didn't care what anybody else thought or what anybody else said. He did what he thought, and it was done. And people have been following it for centuries because they found that stuff good. Okay, now, when the Pope lives what he believes and fully lives what he believes and not tries to impress it upon others, just lives it and is a living example of what he is, his whole organization will fall right into place with his beauty and his goodness, just like they did with Pope Paul, you know, and Pope John. So, you see, these things are so fantastic. And how about you now in your life? Well, I'm not a pope. Yes? Be thankful for that. So you're not a pope, but you are divine. You are God. And you are the allness. So let go now, and let the divine, let the allness, and let everything that is just be in you and be fulfilled in you, because it doesn't need anything else other than your attention to it. When you give your attention to it, and the Pope, he's always giving his attention to the silence. He's out having fun, he's going to a dance, he's doing this or that. The Pope is dancing? Sure, why not? Is there something so terrible about that? The Pope goes out to an Italian pizza restaurant, you know? My God, you know? And he has wine. Sure he has wine. You should see what the Pope's fare is at the Popery, you know? He has very fine meals. He served the very finest meals. His doctors check over those meals to make sure that they are A number one. And then he goes out on his own and he has a pizza. or a hamburger. Yeah, yeah, or whatever. Well, Warren Buffett, you know where what his favorite restaurant is? The Dairy Queen. You know? I mean, I don't want to say it's a sleazy restaurant, but the Dairy Queen is the low end of the totem pole for people who are going out. If you're going out and you have a very small budget, you go to Dairy Queen because the hamburgers are cheaper there. Everything's cheaper there, but it's good. And it always, like the White House. The White House is a hamburger haven throughout the United States. And you could go in there and you could buy 4 hamburgers for 25 cents.
Wow.
And this was, of course, back in the 40s and the 50s, you know, and maybe the 30s, you know, that's a long time ago, you know, and but we would go to the White House, right next to the Eagles Ballroom. We'd go to the Eagles Ballroom with the youth group to go dancing, and then we'd stop at the White House afterwards, and we'd pick up a dozen, maybe 2 dozen hamburgers, and they were thin. They're a little bigger than that. That was then. They were as big as a coffee cup top, you know, and they were as thick as maybe about quarter to half inch, but the bun was there, and it was a nice bun, usually a very good bun, and loaded with onions, sautéed onions, just wonderful onions, and the onions perhaps made the whole thing, and it brought the smell. Oh, it was the smell on the street. You could always tell you're getting near the White House because there they were, and they were delicious. And so all the youth group would eat these hamburgers and have a soda water or something, and that was our supper, and that was our after dancing treat. And then we each caught our buses and streetcars to our homes, and we had just a wonderful, wonderful time. Memories, and they were inexpensive, but they were good. And we could have gone to more expensive places. We did have the budget for it, but the White House was the thing to do, you know. And Dairy Queen is for Warren Buffett, the second wealthiest man in the world, and I think McDonald's is for
the wealthiest
man in the world, Bill Gates, you know. And you know, because that's what they grew up on, and that's what we grew up on. We don't really need these fancy restaurants. I go and I take my wife out to dinner when I go up and visit her, and I say, where'd you like to go? What restaurant would you like to go? She says, well, she says, we could go to Coco's, or we could go to Marie Callender's, or we could go to Denny's. She says, I like Denny's best, you know. And Denny's is a very modest and a very good restaurant. They have good meals there, good food. And service is always excellent. I always enjoy being there. And she, too, grew up on that. But it was a little better than the White House, a step up from the White House and so forth. But nonetheless, we're talking about silence. And we're talking about what we do in our heart. And whenever you think a thought, that thought immediately goes into your silent bottle, you might say, and gets shook up, and out it comes, the solution. You know? So you just take those thoughts that come to your mind, whatever they may be, it doesn't matter, and let them go into your solution bottle, and shake it up, and pour it out, and watch the solution will be so different from anything you could have ever dreamed, and yet it's so complete and so wonderful. And all because you are wonderful. And I love you.
And I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you. I love you.